You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast with Carol Joy Side. If you want to raise spiritually deep, physically strong, and relationally connected kids, this episode is for you. Last week, we heard from Kevin Sutton at Coldwater Foundation about how wilderness experiences help prepare kids for real life. And in this episode, we're hearing from two teens who went to Coldwater over the last two summers. Thomas and Caroline Frickman share their experience and how they benefited from their time at Coldwater. Listen in.
Welcome, friends. I am sitting in the living room of my dear friend Amy, and I'm sitting with her two children, Caroline and Thomas, and they are 16-year-old twins, and they're some of my favorite people in the world. And they are going to be sharing a little bit about their experience at Coldwater Foundation in Minnesota. So welcome, you guys.
Hi.
So I've known them since they were little people, and now they're mature and amazing people. And tell me a little bit about your experiences at Coldwater. So how many times have you been there, Thomas?
I've gone twice the last 2 years, 2023 and 2022.
Okay. And Caroline?
I only went once this last summer.
Okay. So tell me, Caroline, about your trip this summer, this last summer.
I was looking forward to it because I like outdoor stuff. You know, it's like it would be a new experience. It'd be fun. But I think the aspect of spiritually and just like the group and stuff, I wasn't expecting it to be like that fun.
So, really?
Yeah.
So tell me about the spiritual aspect and what did the Lord do in your life while you were there?
So every day, like every morning, we would eat breakfast and then they would send us out with like a hot drink or whatever. And we'd all go like by ourselves for 20 minutes and we'd read whatever they told us to read.
Yes.
And reflect. And then we'd come back and talk about it. Mm. And then at the end, or like at the campfire, like during the night, we would just like go over something we had.
Process it.
Something that blessed us. Yeah. And just whatever. And like all the cool experiences of the day. So I guess I got it. Like people really showed. God really showed through the people around me.
Yes. So. Wow. Thomas, did you have any spiritual experiences?
Oh, my goodness. Both years. I had them all the time.
Did you?
You're just paddling across the lake and you see, you know, a flock of loons or ducks or whatever, you know, flying across the lake. You see some moose and her baby, you know, in the water trying to eat. And or you just see the trees and they're just rustling in the wind. It's just gorgeous. And you just feel blessed by God that you're out like in his untouched nature.
Amen.
And you're all out there with a good group of guys or girls and Caroline's group. But, you know,
yeah,
and
for sure.
It's just a good feeling. But then, of course, there's also the times when God touched our group when we have our sharing time. Mm-hmm. And I would say probably the biggest time that he touched our group was our group, and then also through nature, was in the same night. Actually, we did a night paddle. It was about midnight and we paddled across the lake to a different camping spot, and we stopped out in the middle and had some sharing time. And we just shared all about, you know, just like struggles and stuff, and now we want to get past them. And then we all took rocks and we threw the rocks in the lake as if they were like the things that we have in the past, our struggles that we want to throw away. And that was probably the best time. You know, some of us were crying. You know, it was just a great time for us all to get really close. And then the way that he touched us through nature that night is we looked out, and off the reflection of the lake, we saw the northern lights, the aurora lights. And we saw the aurora lights on the horizon in the middle of summer in Minnesota.
No.
And our leaders had never seen the aurora lights, and we were all just blown away. Unfortunately, our camera was dead, so we couldn't take photos.
But it's imprinted forever in your soul.
Yeah. Anyways, that's just that. That was like we were all just. It was crazy.
Oh.
None of us thought we'd ever see it in our lives, and we saw it there that night. Anyways.
You'll never forget that.
Yeah, for sure.
Never.
I think about it every day.
Oh. Tell me about the friendships you guys made with the kids and your groups.
I mean, you just get really bonded, you know, when you're out there for 10 days in the wilderness. There's nothing like going out in the wilderness with people that gets you, you know, like nothing more. I don't know. Anyways, and so,
What do you think it is about the wilderness as opposed to being home in, you know, the suburbs of America?
I think you're kind of forced to be, you know, get along and stuff.
Yes.
And because you're the only people out there. I mean, we would kind of see people, like we'd see a couple of groups a day maybe.
Yes.
But that was about it. You know,
other campers in the boundary waters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, but you, like, doing hard, you know, you do hard things together, that really bonds people, and yes. the reflection time and everything.
Yes.
I don't know, you just get really, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's no distractions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're together 24/7.
Yeah. So. How'd your phone work out there?
What phone?
that was a joke.
We were forced to leave everything there, and they took our watches away and everything, and yes. so you were just, yeah, kind of just you living your
time
life.
Of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Thomas? Did you make some friends?
Oh, boy. I made friends with all the guys in my group. They were all great. Both years, they were all great. You know, they all came from different parts of America this year. This year on my trip, there was no one from Minnesota on my trip, which is pretty crazy. We had some from we had a guy from Washington, a couple people from California, Tennessee, Texas, and then our leaders were from Colorado and Iowa. So,
wow.
I mean, it was just, you know, we all came from very different parts of America.
Mm-hmm.
And on my trip last year, we actually came from different parts of the world. There's a guy on my trip from Tanzania last year.
No.
He was a missionary there. So he spoke fluent Swahili,
yes.
I believe.
Yes.
And yeah, and all the other guys were from Minnesota and then me.
Oh.
But otherwise, I mean, that was really cool. He was really good at survival and really good at dealing with the mosquitoes.
He was.
Yeah. Oh, he had all these natural sprays and stuff. Anyways,
I bet he did.
But I think it really does force you. It doesn't force you to be friends, because that doesn't sound amazing. But, you know, when you're in the back country,
mm-hmm.
everything's hard. Yes. There's nothing easy like when you're in the front country. Everything's easy here, you know?
It is.
You wake up, you drive your car mm-hmm. 5 miles away. But no, in the boundary waters, you got to paddle 5 miles. You got to do portages. You got to get your shoulders hurt, your arms hurt, you know? Mm-hmm. There's nothing easy about even starting a fire and making food.
That's right.
You know, it's not easy, but that's how we all get so close.
That's it.
If it was a piece of cake, we wouldn't have to get along with each other, you know? But we're kind of forced to get along with each other. It doesn't mean that it didn't go without its ups and downs, for sure. There's definitely times when we butted heads, but yeah.
I bet. Tell me about your relationship with your leaders. Were they impactful for you?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, they were amazing.
Yeah?
They just, like, would touch each one of us in, like, their own, like, they really pay attention to what each person, you know, needed or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so it was super. And they both had their own ways that they did it to you. It was just, like, each time they would talk. Like, each trip, they would take a kid by themselves and talk to them about, you know, whatever they needed to talk about. And it was just super, yeah, they were super good. Amazing.
So they were intentional in relationship.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Wow.
And they were super encouraging. And yeah.
Yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. You too, Thomas?
My leaders were a little bit of a different story. They were great, but they were tough. They were two of the toughest leaders at the camp in terms of how hard they drive you. You know, we would get lost, our group, and they wouldn't help us with navigation.
Yeah.
You know, they just...
They do that on purpose.
Yeah, they do it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They would never offer their opinion. Well, they would offer their opinion, but they would never give us the final solution.
Wow.
To whatever. And it was just, they really taught us not to become reliant on them, not to become reliant on time or anything besides our paper maps that we had and our compass.
Yeah.
You know, we never got to know the time of the day. So sometimes we'd be eating lunch at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and sometimes we'd be eating lunch at 10 o'clock in the morning, you know?
And what was the purpose of that?
It was just because in the front country meaning, you know, civilization.
Right.
and back country meaning the boundary waters or wherever you're disconnected from civilization.
Yeah.
When you're in the back country, you know, you don't have to rely on time. You know, you're in the front country and you see it's 1:30 and you say, oh, I need to eat lunch.
Mm-hmm.
But is your stomach really telling you you need to eat lunch? Mm-hmm. No, but, you know, the clock says 1:30, so the clock is telling you to eat lunch.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're out there, you just go until you're hungry and until we're all hungry and then we all eat. And I think that was really great. And now, you know, I don't rely... This might be a bad thing, but now I don't rely as much on the clock, and I rely more on my stomach, which has made me start eating lunch earlier and earlier. but, you know, and my relationship with my leaders was great. They, you know, as much as they were tough, they were also very close and very personal, and they could, you know, they were willing to, you know, be able to be close to you. You know, they can be tough while we're on the water, but when we get around the campfire...
They were relational.
Yeah. I mean, they're intentional. It's not like they're just soft, but they were intentional, but, you know. And they're both great. And one of my leaders, we called him Uncle Al. His name is Alex. I've had a really good relationship with him. He came and stayed the summer in San Diego, and so I got to see him twice, and mm-hmm. we hiked a mountain together, and it's great. And
so it's Donnie, an ongoing relationship.
Yeah, and we all keep in touch. All the guys on my trip and I and my leaders, we all keep in touch.
Oh,
so
that is so sweet.
Yeah.
Calling all 16 to 18-year-olds. If you want to experience Coldwater Foundation in 2024, I'm happy to tell you they still have a few open spots on their trips for older kids. You can visit their website at coldwaterfoundation.org to learn more about their programs. You can even call someone at Coldwater to learn more and ask any questions you might have. Visit coldwaterfoundation.org today. Now back to the show.
So, Caroline, are you planning on going back?
I want to. I mean, we'll see how the, you know, summer, like, falls out, but we'll see. I really want to. I mean, of course. It's nothing about that I don't want to. It's just seeing how it's going to happen.
Yes.
But, you know,
yeah. It's a long way from 100%. Southern California.
Yeah. It's yeah. quite difficult
it's
to get up there.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge.
It's worth it 100%. So.
You thought so?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, first couple of days, you're like, oh, I don't know about this. It's really lonely. I miss my family. And then you get by the end of the trip, and you're like, I don't want to leave.
I
just
know.
Just want to keep living the simple life.
Oh, so. Wow. That's a beautiful statement. I don't want to leave by the end of the trip. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's success right there. Yeah.
Besides seeing your family. But.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So what was your favorite thing about the trip, Caroline?
I think, obviously the relationships and everything.
Yeah.
But being out in nature just, you know, for 10 days straight, just immersed in that, you know, we never saw an airplane until like the second to last day or something.
Yes.
And it was just like, it was kind of lonely at first, but then after a couple of days, you're like, wow, I really like this. It's just so simple.
Yes.
You know, you don't, the less you have, the less you have to do. And so it's really nice just to have one backpack and that's like your entire everything.
Yes.
And so that was just, it was just super simple, I think. And just being out in nature it was just wonderful to be out in the wilderness. So.
I know. If you were going to tell someone about Coldwater, would you recommend it to someone else?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yes. Even if you don't like nature, or you don't like backpacking or whatever.
Yes.
Like, you know, you're going to be pushed to your limits, but you're going to be glad that it happened.
Yes.
You know, even if it's not really your drive.
Yes. Yes. As my granddaughter said, it's really hard. And then I said, but at the end, are you glad? And she goes, oh, at the end, I'm so glad I went.
Mm-hmm. That's how it is.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You get pushed to your limits, but then you realize those aren't your limits, you know.
Oh, so. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, would you want to be a counselor someday? A leader?
Oh, yeah.
I think that
would you?
Yeah. I think that'd be super fun. Mm-hmm. It'd be a blast. You know, it's definitely, it's pretty crazy what the leaders do, you know. They
know.
Go on like a 5-week training trip and for a little bit they go out by themselves.
Yes.
And
do solos.
It's definitely hard, but I think it'd be a blast. Mm-hmm. If not a counselor, definitely to work at the camp, it'd be fun.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, this is really great. Anything else you guys want to share about it?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Tom.
I say go. Go to Coldwater. If you get the chance, go. You'll end up loving it. As much as you might be dreading it coming up to it, as much as you might dread it during the whole time, in the end, it makes you stronger.
Yeah.
It makes you able to face struggles in front country and back country.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly, it gets you closer to God.
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So did you feel like your character was impacted?
I think so, yeah. You looked at life differently, I feel like, afterwards. Not, I mean, it didn't, like, completely change your life, you know, but it, like, definitely moved it a little bit, like, as in the way you look at what, I don't know, I think just the way you live it.
Be specific. Like, what does it change about your outlook on life?
I think the way, like, I don't know, coming back into civilization was weird. You're like, boy, I don't really want to live in a whole house. It just seems like a lot to,
yeah.
I don't know, I mean, I do.
Right.
Anyways.
No,
but
I know.
It's just, there's something really special about, you know, living out there for 10, I don't know.
Yes.
Like, you can't really describe it. But.
Mm-hmm. Do you kind of feel like you came back a different person?
A little bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a better me, a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the greatest impact on you, Thomas?
Oh, there are so many good impacts. Mm-hmm. I think it really makes you realize, because when you're, I keep on using these terms, but when you're in the front country, there's not a lot that you have to rely on God for. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, you drive your car, mm-hmm. you hop on an airplane and travel, you know.
Open the refrigerator,
drive take to the grocery shower. Store. Take a hot shower. And it makes you, when you're out in the wilderness, it really opens your eyes to there is so much mm-hmm. in front country that you need to be thankful for. And there's so much in the back country that you are thankful for while you're out there. And it also makes you realize how blessed people in, you know, in the, you know, in the first world countries are really blessed to have what they have.
That's right.
And, you know, a lot of people in second and third world countries don't even know what it's like to take a hot shower.
That's right.
To sleep under a roof without being scared. And,
that's right.
You know.
Yeah.
No access to medical and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you kind of get a little bit of a taste of that, you know.
That's right.
The best medical help you have on the canoe trip is your emergency pack.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to scare anybody right. off with that. You right. know? But
there are some safety nets.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely water. Safe. I never felt unsafe. I never right. felt like if I was going to break my leg, I was going to die out there.
Right. Exactly. I never felt like that. There are definitely safety nets, yeah. but they don't advertise them to the kids.
No. And they're not, and they don't make you, you know, they're not, you don't feel comfortable when you're out there.
That's right.
It pushes you out of your comfort zone.
You're being stretched.
It pushes you out of your comfort zone more than going on a stage would mm-hmm. or more than talking to someone new would. Mm-hmm. It just really pushes you out of the comfort zone. What do you have to do? Mm-hmm. What you have to lift? What you have to mm-hmm. say? You got to speak up.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be a leader.
Describe the way that you camp at Coldwater. Is it like ooh. REI equipment and you know, little oof. Puffy things that you sleep on the ground on
no,
top of?
No, sleep on. I know this year for our rain mats that we had underneath us, they just use extra siding stuff when they're remodeling. It's waterproof.
Yeah,
just cut that out to the lengths and grab those, and you roll them up every night, and that's what nice we slept. Enough. That's what we slept on. It worked fine. I never got. For the most part, I never got wet.
Yeah.
And then you sleep on little foam, you know, camping mats. You know, they're nothing. They're not 3.5 inches thick of puff, but no one wants to carry that. And
yeah.
You don't and then carry you it. Do bring your own sleeping bag, so that's your own personal choice. But then you're not sleeping in a tent. You're not.
Tell
sleeping,
me about that. What do you mean you're not sleeping in a tent?
You're sleeping underneath a tarp, and I'm not talking about a blue tarp that you would throw over a pile of wood or a lawnmower. It's a camping tarp.
Yeah.
You know, they have little notches for you to tie ropes
little
to
rings.
Trees, but uh-huh. it's a struggle to put those up. It's a struggle to learn the knots, tie the knots, yeah. get it hung up perfectly.
Yes.
Find a good spot
especially
to put it.
Especially when and it's then, raining.
Especially when yes. it's raining. And it's hard to put up the mosquito nets. I think it's harder yeah, to put up the mosquito nets. Mm-hmm. But you definitely want the mosquito nets.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Anyways,
that's kind of the camping experience.
Yeah. I mean, you yeah. do stay at campgrounds, like that the Boundary Water has, like, its specific campgrounds that they do make for that's, you.
When you say so. Campgrounds, it's not people in campers.
No, it's like, well, it's a campground. I don't know how to describe it. It's like, you do have a little fire, and there's yeah. like a little, like, grill thing, but that's about it.
That's that. It.
Yeah, that's
there's
it.
A little burn, a latrine.
Yeah. Which okay. is, so it's, yeah.
Okay.
Which is for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's nothing like a regular campground. At some campsites, you got to clear a spot for your tent because it got yeah, overgrown.
There's not a nice
you know,
little
it's not like there's a nice fish. Little thing with wood around it and mm-hmm. rocks. It's not
right.
like that at all.
Right.
You're sleeping on wooden rocks.
And
yeah.
rocks
yes.
And whatever.
And the Boundary rocks. Waters is very restrictive, so only a few people can be in a certain area. Like, they restrict how many people can be there.
Yeah, you can't go meet up at a campground with a different group.
Exactly.
Like, it's only, like, 9 or something.
Yes.
Yeah. yeah. And you can't have too many people within one group.
Exactly.
There's only 9 people allowed in a group.
That's right. So they're trying to really create a very kind of, how would you describe it?
Backwoods.
Wilderness.
Yes, yeah. yes. Yeah, a backwoods experience.
But, like, an old, not old-fashioned, but definitely... Like backwoods before everybody became backwoodsmen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what would you say to someone who's like, I don't know, should we send our kids there? It's such a hassle to get them there, and it's in the middle of nowhere, and what would you tell?
Yes, period.
Yes, period?
Yeah. Figure it out. You can do it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. If you have the financial means to do it, do it. I mean... it's worth every cent that you spend.
I agree.
At the time that you book the ticket, it might be expensive. Mm-hmm. You might feel regretful, but your child will come back more blessed than they've ever been blessed before. Yeah. And yeah. So it's worth every cent, you know?
Yeah. Would you say that you grew up from going to Coldwater?
Oh, yeah. I grew up like 3 or 4 years for mm-hmm. sure.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Caroline? Yeah, in 1 week. How about you?
They definitely teach you to be a leader. Like, you definitely, mm-hmm. yeah, you're forced to carry on away. You know, people don't do things for you. So mm-hmm. it's either, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is super great. Do you guys want to pray? One of you want to pray for these families that are listening? Thomas, you want to do it? Caroline, which one of you? Thomas?
We can both pray if you want.
All
right. Dear Heavenly Father, please be over the people that are, you know, facing the decision to whether or not to send their child, or the child that's deciding whether or not they want to go. Just give them that push of courage that only you can give them, just to get pushed past that, out of their comfort zone, and hit those boundary waters through Coldwater Foundation. They'll be blessed like no other way, and it's all through you. Amen.
Amen.
And true. God, just give, if you'll make it happen if it's supposed to happen, but give them the will to want it to happen. Mm-hmm. And that you'll, if there, where there's a, you know, you'll make a way if it's meant to. So.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This has been such a treat. Thank you guys. And
of course.
Coldwater, yeah. Course is a nonprofit. It's, they're not making money off of these trips. As yeah. a matter of fact, there's a lot of personal sacrifice in the leadership that goes into keeping Coldwater afloat. So mm-hmm. they're also open to contributions from families, donations, yes. So we want to keep them prospering and for many generations. You know, your children need to go to Coldwater.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. My grandchildren.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So this has been a blessing. Thank you, guys.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast with Carol Joy Side. I'm Rachel Winchester. Before you go, I wanted to let you know that Coldwater still has some openings in their trips for older students, ages 16 through 18. To learn more, visit their website, coldwaterfoundation.org. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Until next time, remember, Jesus's commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.